back in the 80s, I lived in San Francisco, and I had a wonderful friend there named Elaine. Elaine was a lefty lawyer, an artist, and a member of a group called Cacophony, which was the offspring of a group called the Suicide Club. And these groups existed to plan elaborate adventures, infiltrations, stunts, not all of which were necessarily legal or safe. And when the founder, Gary Warren, of a legendary guy, the founder of the Suicide Club, died, Elaine wanted to plan an event that would, a meaningful event that would honor his memory. And my boyfriend, EJ, and I got to be a part of this. We were among 15 clueless participants in this event. And I'll try to do it justice. So the invitation didn't have much information on it. Just report to such and such a building in downtown San Francisco at such and such a time on Halloween night. Wear dark clothes and bring a bag of white clothes. And we had to return a postcard on which we answered the question, what in your life are you most proud of? So EJ and I report, and 13 other people, and we're led into the building. We're led to some law offices. And there Elaine is waiting for us, and she's wearing a business suit instead of her usual, like, mismatched hippie garb. And she guides us through the process of writing our wills, legal binding wills. We had to dispose of all our worldly goods. I didn't have any worldly goods, and so it didn't take me long, but other people did. Some people were in tears because they had children, and this brought up a lot of feelings. Not that they thought they were going to die that night, but it reminded them that they would die someday. After our wills were signed and notarized, we were led outside back out on the sidewalk where we were blindfolded and separated and put into three waiting cars. There were no witnesses to this because downtown San Francisco is deserted late at night on Halloween. And at this point, I started to worry. How well did I really know Elaine? Was she trustworthy? Because a few years prior, she had given me a hash brownie without really going over the possible consequences. But I was sitting next to EJ, and this made the event more fun than scary. The drive lasted about an hour. And we ended up in a very quiet place. There were no city sounds. And at this point, it stopped being a group activity. So we were removed from the cars and separated. So now I was no longer with EJ. And we were each given an escort. So I'll just describe my lonely experience. So I'm this silent escort, dressed in all in black, like a burglar with a balaclava and everything, escorts me to the start of a long dirt road. And he says, keep walking until you reach the light. And then he takes off and leaves me there alone in a dense, dark forest. And I was terrified. Now, I couldn't, even if you'd asked me at the time, I couldn't have told you exactly what I was scared of. But I could just barely keep it together. I could barely put one foot in front of the other without just screaming my head off. But I did it, and when I saw the light, you can bet I picked up the pace. And maybe it was like a 15-minute walk down this dirt road. And it wasn't that it was pitch black. I could see, but, you know, I could just see kind of enough, you know, how that is. So I reached the light. It's a person holding another black clad person holding a lantern. And then two more people escort me down another road, a really uneven, rocky road. And they lead me to a tent, a well-lit tent. And inside the tent, there are people in white coats, and there's a table. And I'm led to the table, and I'm told to lie down and close my eyes, which I do. And several people working as a team proceed to undress me and then give me kind of a sponge bath. And I found this so incredibly embarrassing, just excruciating. And I did that thing where you close your eyes and you hope that nobody else can see either. And it was just the worst. It was so much worse than the forest walk. And then this team wraps me in a sheet, lifts me off the gurney, and places me in a coffin. a real coffin. And then someone else takes a Polaroid of me lying there in my sheet with my eyes closed, which I still have. And then the lid comes down. Now, at the last second, I worked my hands out of the sheet, and I put my hands flat up against the lid, you know, just in case. And I kept it open just maybe a quarter, half an inch, you know, and just to make sure I could get out if I needed to. And then we walked that way, me lying like this. A bunch of people picked up the coffin. We walked a little ways until we entered a building that I could hear lots of voices and organ music. And then the coffin is set down and opened, and I can hear people talking and kind of sniffling. And a man starts to speak. The organ music stops, and he has a beautiful, sonorous voice. "Dearly beloved, we're gathered here." And then he proceeds to talk about me in glowing terms. More sobs and sniffles. It was very moving. I cried a little bit. And then when he's done speaking, lid closes again, put the hands up. And then I'm walked a few more minutes of walking, and then the coffin is set down, again in a very quiet place. And the next thing I heard was that very distinctive sound of a shovel being thrust into dirt. And I didn't think I was going to be buried alive because I hadn't felt myself lowered into a hole. But still, when the dirt hit the coffin lid, it was very alarming. It was disturbing. Just a few shovels full, and then the grave diggers walked away. And all I could hear was the wind and the trees. And I decided that I should try to relax and just experience this experience. Because it wasn't going to happen again, you know, at least in this way. And so I lay there with my hands at my sides. And, you know, when you're staring at the inside lid of your coffin a few inches from your face, certain thoughts come to mind. Is there life after death? If there is life after death, you don't get to take your body with you, obviously, but do you take your mind with you? Or is death the end of all awareness? Or do you still have some awareness? And if so, are you aware that you're lying in a coffin? And after a few minutes of this, I couldn't stand anymore. I couldn't take it. I could not stay in there. So I slowly opened the lid and peeked out. And when I thought no one was around, I opened a little lot, and then I sat up. And luckily, it was a very unusually warm night because I was wearing, of course, only a sheet. And I sat up in my coffin, and I looked around. Well, I was in a field, a clearing in the forest, and all around me were coffins. And I stared at those coffins. I just sat there gazing at those coffins, wondering which one EJ was in, wondering how those other people were coping with the situation that I couldn't manage. And I just sat there looking around until I heard someone coming. And then I lay back down and closed my lid as if I had been lying there the whole time. Well, that person was an angel. And it was a man dressed all in white, and he resurrected us one by one. So when he came to me, he opened the coffin, and he handed me my white clothes and told me to put them on. And then he led me on a little walk through a forest and then through a storm pipe, you know, one of those big pipes. And I just followed him, and we ended up on a gorgeous little beach with a tremendous view of the city and the Golden Gate Bridge all lit up. And then, of course, there was a party with a bonfire and food. And we had a chance to share our thoughts about this experience. And I was so interested to hear that EJ, a person I thought I knew fairly well, had absolutely loved the walk through the forest. He wished it had lasted much longer. And he thoroughly enjoyed lying in his coffin, contemplating life and death. Thank you.